Hi, Peter Williams here. Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email or hit the join email button on your RCR app.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Up Your Brave show here on Reality Check Radio. I am your host, Natalie Cutler-Welsh, and next up, I'm talking to Brenda James. We're going to be talking about Mindset Revolution, a quantum leap in leadership. Welcome to the show, Brenda.
Thank you, Natalie.
I love saying welcome, Brenda. That's my sister's name. I feel like we're soul sisters. For those of you that don't know Brenda, Brenda James is a renowned New Zealand coach for executives and business owners. Her sought-after talks leave audiences with a transformative mindset shift, igniting a powerful spark of self-discovery. Brenda leverages her expertise in coaching, neuroscience, and her gift for storytelling to guide audiences on a journey that is filled with heart and humor. Through a blend of insightful concepts and anecdotes, she challenges participants to question their thought processes, self-doubts, and limiting beliefs. She inspires them to explore a mindset shift and follow their path to limitless potential. Whether through coaching or speaking, Brenda equips her audiences with time-tested tools and techniques honed through her decades of executive coaching experience. These tools empower individuals to connect with their core values, explore emotional mastery, trust their intuition, and harness their superpower of gratitude, ultimately to lead from the inside out. I gotta say, Brenda, I've introduced a lot of people, and that is one of the best bios I've ever heard.
Thank you. The last line says it all, right?
Yeah, it's like, I'd hire you. No, it's amazing. Well, I love talking about leadership. And I also love the fact that the topic is not just regular old leadership. We're talking about a quantum leap in leadership. So before we do that, can you paint a little bit more of a picture for us? Tell us a bit more backstory on how you got into the area of mindset and leadership.
Yeah, sure. So for me, it happened, well, actually, it's 27 years ago that I started this journey because my daughter was 3 and she's about to turn 30. So, I've had the normal life of ups and downs. My downs were pretty deep, but not unusual. I've been through divorce and addiction. I've been sober for 15 years. Horrific social anxiety, suffered imposter syndrome a lot. So for me, I actually started with Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life. Yeah. It would have been over 25 years ago. And then Anthony, or Tony Robbins, he is now, I started with his personal power course, which was in cassette tapes back then. And so I've been on a journey of studying thoughts and thinking and mindset for all that time. And 6 years ago, when I set up my business, for me, it's about not taking the same messages out there. I can give someone a process to delegate or a structure to coach and et cetera. What I focus on is the mindset piece and really getting to know yourself better.
I love all of that. I love when people, number one, have the curiosity to get to know themselves better, and then they have some sort of clear tool or pathway in order to do that. So on that note, what is the tool or pathway that you recommend, something that you use to work with your people, whether you're speaking with them or coaching or whatever? What is one of the tools you use?
One of the biggest tools I use is helping them get clear on their values. I've just done it with a lady this morning, and her previous experience of trying to identify her values was being given a sheet of a whole lot of words and having to choose her words.
That's what I did.
She got lost. Well, she got lost. So I go through some pretty deep questions. And then I look, obviously, for the patterns and the repetitions. And we came out with the most beautiful list of values for her. The reason I do that is because, you know, I've had one leadership coaching client out of hundreds be able to go, yes, I can absolutely tell you what my values are and that I consciously practice them daily.
Yeah. I've seen that list, and I know what you mean. For some people, it can be very daunting. There's a lot of buzzwords to choose from. What is one of those deep and meaningful questions that you ask to kind of start the thoughts towards what the values are?
The first question I ask is, what do you look for in a friend or a spouse?
Love it.
And it flows so much onto the other questions. What do you look for in a mentor? What are you most proud of? Yeah, I won't give it all away, but
it's a
fabulous process. Yeah, exactly.
For those of you that are listening, have a think about it. What would you say if Brenda asked you, and correct me if I'm wrong, is this what you said? What do you look for in a friend or spouse?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to start with that question. So have a little think about it. If you're listening, whether you're listening live or later, and if you'd love to share, you can let us know. You can send us a text, 2057 on the text, or email inbox at realitycheck.radio. What do you look for in a friend or spouse? I would say off the bat, Brenda, someone that I can be myself with. And for me, fun is key. I don't have to be like laughing my head off, but, you know, someone that I can have fun with that makes me feel that I can be myself and I feel like I'm more of myself when I'm with them. Those are my people.
I love that. And the other thing, as you will know, being, you know, a conscious living person, it's like they change over time. So, for example, my life experience, especially over the last few years, I experienced an unexpected separation and different things, moving house. Grace became one that was vitally important to me, that gracefulness and the gratitude. But grace became amplified in who I want to be, what I stand for, and what I'd love to see in my inner circle. Because ultimately, when I ask those questions, what we're looking for is who you aspire to be. And that's what our values are. They pull us back to that anchor when we're facing decisions.
Can you remind me, and I'm not going to ask you for all of them, but can you just give me one more of the questions that you told us before?
So another one is,
what are you proud of?
Yeah, definitely. What are you most proud of? But then there's one about how would you describe your family? So, and your upbringing. So it's looking for, often people will talk about their parents and the good qualities in their parents. And again, it's usually quite repetitive by that time.
This is so similar to an activity that we do in business where we basically write down three people that we admire, whether they're famous or not. And then we write down what is it about them that you admire. And then we get people to look at it and we go, that's you. Like so what we do is we get them to cross out the name of the three people and they have to write you. It's boom. It's like, it's intense. It's the same philosophy. It's so interesting.
Yes.
So are we drawn towards who we want to be?
Oh, for sure. I do another exercise, which is a little bit like yours, but I go through a quadrant of tell me what animal makes you think of emotional strength. And we do, you know, physical, emotional, spiritual, mental. And then when you're looking at all those animals, it's like, well, what historical person or famous person does that make you think of? And because I know what the outcome is going to be in this question, and I'm watching who people name, because it's exactly that. It's that's who you aspire to be. And it's just spot on every time.
So once we get clear on who we aspire to be, whether it be said famous person or values, like a gathering of words that mean a lot to us, do you then go and help people to actually step in to become that person, or is the person already within them and you just help them to reveal it?
Look, I think when it comes to values, here's what I suggest to people. I suggest that they have them somewhere where they see them every single day. So I've had clients put them on their screensaver on their phone, put them on the wall. I always had them on the wall in front of me. So, and each morning, read them. Think about how you're going to live and breathe them today. Mm. And then at the end of the day, think about, you know, did I stay true to my values today? And if you didn't, what might you have done differently? Everything I teach is not a one and done, you've got a list sorted. Everything I teach is a lifestyle. Mm. And it's not about doing something else. It's about changing the way you're living. And so it's so much more powerful. Everything becomes a lifestyle.
When that leads us so nicely to today's topic, which is mindset revolution. So I guess that involves shifting your mindset, a quantum leap in leadership. So talk to me about mindset.
I've been very brave in that topic of quantum leap and leadership, but I really believe we can have one, and I believe 2024 is the year for a collective one.
Yes.
The mindset piece for me is around, okay, you know, we're clear on our values. Now it's about becoming conscious of what thoughts we're putting out there, what frequency. We have 60,000 thoughts a day. Science tells us that 85% are negative. Oof. And 95% are repetitive. So, you know, do we really want to repeat yesterday? On a good day we do, right? But not so much on a bad day. So this mindset piece for me is I encourage people, and I do give them tools to empower them to become more consciously aware of the way they're thinking, especially those first thoughts in the morning that set up their day. This is also where the gratitude piece comes into it. You know, they can actually focus on the things you're grateful for, so that you actually, you know, what we focus on grows. What are you growing? So this is a lot of the mindset piece. And the other thing that is, you know, an absolute lifesaver for some people, and I see now that, you know, being through the other side of addiction, that this is what helped me, is neuroplasticity. Your brain can change and rewire right into adulthood. They used to think it was just childhood, but it's completely.
And yeah, they used to talk about the first 7 years, and then we were like, damn, we missed the boat.
My grandson just turned 7 today.
So we've got more time up our sleeve. That's
good. We have more time. So, and it's about, you know, if you're a visual person, it's about actually visualizing pathways in your brain. And you imagine if you've got thoughts continually going down the negative pathway, it's what you're going to see. It's what you're going to attract. I have this little saying that I use personally. If I catch myself and I say, I do not consent. Yeah. I do not consent, you know, and just cancel out that negativity and replace it with something else.
I've heard that before. So do we say that when we literally say something out of our mouth, or we think a thought and we know it's not healthy or it's not good for us, and then we can basically kind of cancel it out? I do not consent.
Yeah. Or use something that works for you. I was doing a little philosophy class last night, and they say, not this. Not this. Apparently, the energy of those words are linked to ancient history.
Ooh, I like that.
So you can choose your own words. I used to say delete.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I often do that when I'm texting. And if I'm saying something, I haven't said it negatively, but it's just in a way that I feel is not as, I'm coming from a more of a place of victim. Like, you know, whatever it might be, like to my son, if I have to pick him up from the park or something, just the way that you word things, right? And then I'll go delete, delete, delete. And I'll just reiterate it. I'll say it again in a more empowering way, because I want to role model, obviously, that to my kids. So yeah, delete, delete, delete. But I like, what was that one you said just then? The ancient one?
Not this, not this.
Okay, not this. Nice. Mm. What do you mean by quantum leap? Does that just mean super big?
Well, I got the idea from, so there was actually a program called Quantum Leap in the 90s. So the older listeners will know about it. And it started a physicist by the name of Scott Bakula. And he used to actually time travel and land in somebody else's body and life. And I mean, it was all sorts of things. He'd be a woman putting on lipstick, and it was funny seeing where he landed. But he wasn't able to time travel back home until he'd solved whatever the issue was that they're dealing with. And a quantum leap generally means, you know, a massive shift in something. Mm-hmm. And isn't the reality that right now we are amidst a big transformation? Change is complex, and it's just ongoing. And so the best thing we can do is, like, that awareness piece is vital to get there. I mean, 95% of us think we're self-aware. Science or research shows us only 15% are, 1-5. So I believe that the quantum leap comes from that inner strength, that focusing on what you do have control over. It's you know, they used to talk about above the line, below the line, what can you control, what can't you control. What I teach is not any different to any of that, but it's in a 2024 language. So, you know, I talk about leading with grit and grace. You can do the two together. Yeah. And I did, you know, the listener won't know, but I did take on your idea of the G's, and I the formula is now the 4 G's, to help leaders master and access their inner truth. When you have that anchor to go back to, no matter what you're facing, you can leap through anything.
And who doesn't want to? I mean, maybe some people don't, but I'm like, who doesn't want to master and access their inner truth? And like you said, especially in 2024, and, you know, my listeners are well accustomed to me talking about, you know, 2024 is the year of truth, but it's also the year of strength. It is a time to step into who you truly are born to be. This is my belief. And I know you probably feel the same. And it's exciting to think that leaders, those people, and of course, we are all leaders of our own life, but those people in leadership, quote unquote, positions, for them to be thinking more deeply into who am I? How am I showing up in the world? How can I have a massive quantum leap in my leadership? It's exciting. What do you think the future holds for us in terms of leadership and society in general?
That's a really interesting question, because what I've observed over the last years, and part of the reason I share that I've had a mental health journey most times I talk, is because I don't want people to think like I'm not credible when I say what I'm about to say. And that is, I believe we've become too soft. I agree with all the support when it comes to mental well-being. I absolutely do, 100%. I have experienced suicidal thought, so I really support how can I help, you know, all of those things. But in leadership, what's happened in the workplace often is everything is mental health. A stress is a mental health, and it's become so amplified. Our leaders are afraid of holding people accountable. They don't want to create another statistic.
Yeah.
And I promise you, I'm seeing it everywhere. And that's why the strength needs to be within. You know, the gratitude piece, I talk about, if you need to go and have a difficult conversation with someone, thinking about what I said about what you focus on grows, actually write down all the things that person does well. Write down all the things you're grateful for about that person, then go and have the conversation from that place. You know, it allows you to hold them accountable, but be compassionate at the same time. But we've got leaders out there who are either leaning too much into the compassionate or too much into the accountability. And I believe we need to join the two together more masterfully. And I believe we will in 2024.
With the doing the positive gratitudes about the person before you have the conversation, is part of the intention of that to energetically shift things for you? So it's, I mean, obviously it is.
Yeah.
You're going to present things nicer, but is there an energetic shift that takes place when we allow ourselves to see the gratitude or see the good in that person before we go and have a conversation?
Absolutely. And that's such a great question. I'm glad you asked it, because one of the things I talk about is emotional regulation. It's so important. Again, you need to know yourself to know what triggers you, etc. But it's like, who are you taking into the room? And an example I'd give here is I had two directors and they were just at each other. It's been quite a process. And it was quite a toxic environment when I arrived. Now, and I mean at each other, they used to shout at each other in the office of 20 people. So when I got back down a few sessions after I'd started working with them, they're like, oh no, we're doing really well. We're not shouting in the office. But they were still at each other privately. And I said, yeah, but you're still taking that energy into the room. Your team are feeling it. So, you know, it absolutely changes our energy, the way what we're looking for. So you imagine walking in, you're grateful for everything good that that person does. You're not going to just sit in that meeting festering on what they've done wrong. You will be giving them a fair go, but still hold them accountable.
Yeah. And we can use this skill that you've shared with us today with our partners, with our children. So it's before you go in and have that talk with your teenager, you're going to either write a list or just call into your mind, right? Some things you're grateful for.
Okay. Yes. Yes. I've done that and it absolutely works personally.
Yeah. So good. I also love the phrase you used, emotional regulation, because I think sometimes people are like, oh, you know, you need to be able to control your anger. You need to be able to control your emotions. Control is an interesting word, but I think emotional regulation and who are you taking into the room? If we can just take that moment to go, hang on a second, who am I taking into the room? Who am I taking into the meeting? Who am I taking, you know, into this, you know, dinner date with my husband or whatever? I think that's a great question. We can, hopefully we can remember that one. People that are listening, who are you taking into the room? Love it. Brenda, can you give us a story without breaking confidentiality of, you know, an example or someone you've worked with in the past in a leadership scenario where you've seen someone have some sort of leap, whether it was quantum or not, in their own leadership?
Oh, absolutely. And one of my lovely architecture clients comes to mind. I worked with her a few years ago now. And, you know, she was constantly frustrated at the behavior of other people, you know, especially if they had different values to her or if they didn't, you know, if they maybe tried to be overbearing with a woman, like, you know, I'm the best architect on this job kind of thing. And it's funny because soon after a session with me, she'd get it for a while, but then she'd boomerang back. So when she finally really took that leap, it was so noticeable. And even her managers phoned me to comment. And it was all about this. It was all about what you look for, you will see. Take, who are you taking into the room? That's all you can control. You be true to you. You know, lead by example. If someone is behaving in a way that you really, really disagree with and you perhaps don't feel confident to have a conversation with them, it might be your manager or something like that, then be the change. You know, this is all old stuff, right? Be the change you wish to see in the world. It was a massive shift for her, and I'm probably downplaying it a bit actually when I think about it, but it was black and white. Like, this is the way I was. This is the way. She was just so judgmental of other people, and she managed to drop that away. It was a process. It wasn't as quick as I've seen happen before, and that's why it's one that sticks in my mind. Yeah.
Well, you know what I'm loving about this conversation is because, yes, some of it is classic stuff. Some of it we've heard before, but like from that first conversation you and I had before this one on a different day, is you just have so many things that we can hold on to, you know, so many phrases, even when you talk about the grit, the grace, the gratitude. Yes, I love all that. And even what you just said, and I wrote this down, let's make a shift so you stop boomeranging back.
Yes.
Right. You can use that in your marketing. It's free of charge. But because I love what you said about boomeranging back, you know, and it's like, yeah, that is, people don't just do one session or read one thing and they're good to go. It's a habit. We need to recreate that, like you said, it's a lifestyle thing. Recreate how they're showing up, including the energy, including the languaging, including the body language.
Absolutely. And I've quite enjoyed studying neuroscience over the last few years, you know, and it's like our brain will choose the easy path. You know, that's why we struggle so much with change. That's why neuroplasticity is so powerful. But in all the stuff I do, you can imagine the client, the coaching client, the leader, whoever it may be, I work with people personally too, needs to want it, because I take them to a mirror and it can be confronting, but I do it lovingly with grace. But they need to want this to actually really grab onto the change and make it happen for themselves. And I often say, if I could design a pill that I could give people that shows them what life's going to be like, you know, over the other side when they've done the quantum leap, I'd be a gazillionaire.
Well, the thing is, what I'm getting from you, remember I said that the ideal friend for me would be someone I can be myself with, but someone who's also fun. I feel like you are that person. So it's like, yay, let's be friends. But I'm also thinking what you said before, some leaders struggle because they're overly compassionate or they're way too much in the area of accountability. And I feel like you've got that balance, that fusion of both of those things. So beautiful. But, you know, and I feel like you would be someone who's fun to work with, but also that great balance of being compassionate, but also holding them accountable.
I really do. Anyone who works with me gets accountability assignments in between. And, you know, there's mixed thoughts on whether we should be doing that these days because, you know, I don't want to tell you what you need to do. But again, it's up to them whether they, one of the things I get leaders do is actually keeping a thoughts journal for 7 days.
What's that?
So they write down their first thought of the morning or as soon as they think of it, and then three things they're grateful for. And then at the end of the day, they just reflect back on their day and notice what they notice about their thinking. It's that simple. Can take
how long do they
minutes.
Do that for?
Most people can do it for 7 or even 14 days, but even after 7 days, they will get insights for sure. They'll start to see why, you know, certain things happen in a day when they link it back to the first thoughts they were having in the morning.
So is it a good practice for people? I'd love to give our listeners practical tips and things to do. So just along these lines, is it a good practice for someone to taking note of your thoughts is amazing. And I feel like that's a good process. So we know where we're at and then we can go where we want to go. But in terms of going where you want to go, is it great for people to consciously try to have thoughts of gratitude first thing in the morning? Is that a practice that works?
Absolutely, I do it. The other thing I do is let me see if I can remember my own questions I ask myself. I set an intention for the day. I ask myself, who am I going to be today? What am I going to contribute? And a really important one, what am I open to receiving today?
Oh, I like that.
It's a really nice one for our mums out there because I'm a mum too, and I know we give a lot to other people. It's nice to actually receive.
Absolutely, because I imagine most people would roll up, you know, the alarm clock wakes them up or not, and then they're just like, what day is it? What do I have to do? Like it goes straight into the to-do list. So it's like, can we take a moment and just get centered and, you know, go to gratitude before we get out of bed?
So much so. It is, your brain will love you for it.
That's so good. That's so helpful. All right. Let's talk a little bit more about leadership. What I'm really excited about with the work you do, and I don't know who you work with, but men. Okay. So I feel like the more men that are doing this type of work, because I live in such an entrepreneurial woman's world and we all do this stuff all the time. Like this is what we do as entrepreneurs. We're like, who am I? How do I show up? Because we're putting ourselves out there and we're doing personal discovery and on values and goals. And I love the thought that more people, everyday people are going to do this work, but also men who, you know, many are in leadership positions in the family, also in work. Do you work with men? Have you seen some great shifts in terms of how they show up just from doing some of these exercises?
Oh, I absolutely have. It's the whole awareness piece, Natalie. You know, when they become more, once you see, you can't unsee. Once you start looking within and looking in the mirror, you can't just randomly blame everyone else anymore. It just doesn't work for you anymore. Once you know what your values are and you're wanting to anchor back to them, it just ruins everything else that is not aligned to them. So yeah, I once thought about focusing on just working with women, but over 50%, probably 60% plus of my clients have been men consistently.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm being brave getting out there. I've just designed a new keynote. So I'm getting brave talking this message to big groups of men and women about mindset, but in a different way. I'm not going out with the same old messages. So, and we're all capable of it. I think it's quite even these days. I think there's a lot of men searching for something more.
Can you give us a little sneak peek from the keynote? What is one little bit of guidance, advice, or a question that you would ask specifically to an audience of men?
Oh, specifically to an audience of men.
Or mixed audience.
Yeah. Well, I always ask the audience who thinks they're self-aware, who thinks they're not self-aware. There are other questions I ask in there. What are some of them? It's not coming to me now.
But you know what? I just find that interesting, those two questions you asked, which are polar opposite questions, but both equally valid, right? Somebody actually asked me that at New Earth NZ. We were sitting by the campfire and he's like, do you mind if I ask you some random questions? I'm doing this thing with people. I'm like, okay, I'm up. I love random questions. And he said, like, how well do you know yourself? And I was like, really well, but there's always more to learn. That was my answer. Yeah. So if I was in your audience and you said, you know, how are you self-aware? I think was your verbiage. I would put my hand up. And then when you said how many of you are not self-aware, I probably would not put my hand up. But is there a mixed bag? Response?
Well, normally it's most people. Remember, the research tells us that 95% of people think they're self-aware, but only about 15% are.
Right.
Because it's not a one and done achievement. It's an ongoing lifestyle piece. So I know for me, especially when I separated a few years ago, it took me a while, but hindsight helped me see my blind spots. You know, we all have blind spots. And if you think you don't have blind spots, that's your blind spot.
Yeah.
So it's an ongoing journey. And I think one of the things that I sometimes get asked is, can't this all become a bit intense? So I think we find our groove initially when we haven't been even thinking about self-awareness, and we start on that mindset journey or mindfulness journey, and we start to become more mindful. For a short period, it may feel intense, and then you just get into the groove and it's part of your life.
I love it. I don't think it's too intense at all. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave Show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh. And I'm talking today to Brenda James on the topic of Mindset Revolution, a Quantum Leap in Leadership. I would love to go to the questions that I ask all my guests. First one is the Up Your Brave question. If you were to truly up your brave in 2024, what would you do?
Well, I'm getting on bigger stages to amplify my message. That's upping my brave for me. Remember, I can suffer imposter syndrome and social anxiety, so I work on those all the time. They're not as bad as they used to be. I'm noticing more and more, but my upping my brave is about sharing louder about intuition, that we all have it. And I talk about the gut, and the gut being the second brain, and I give science behind that. But I'm talking about intuition and the power of gratitude to senior leaders, exploring realms beyond the tangible, you know, moving away from the usual metrics and methodologies. So that's definitely upping my brave. It's getting the other side of worrying about being judged for being different and just doing it. Because if there's one person in an audience that turns their life around, and we all know about ripple effect, you know, then, oh, it's been a good day for me.
I'm so into that. I'm so excited about the work you're doing, because even bringing up intuition and weaving that into like a keynote at a conference, it's like, these are the times we're in, people. Times are changing. I'm excited about it. Intuition and the power of gratitude. Gosh, you've got some great phrases. I'm loving it from a marketing perspective, you know, and messaging and mission, all of the things you're doing. I'm loving it. What is coming up for you in the next few months, and how can people connect with you if they want to learn more, if they also want to live with grit and lead with grit and grace, or maybe hire you to come and speak to their team or at an event? How can they get in touch?
So the best place to go is my website, which is leadership-reboot.co.nz. I'm very active on LinkedIn and, well, Instagram, thanks to my daughter who does my social media. I'm always keen for people to have their say and interact with what I put on to social. So yeah. I would love that. But I also have my own podcast, 5 a.m. Tuesday. And Tuesday is about C-H-O-O-S-E-D-A-Y.
Tuesday.
Yeah.
Got it.
Tuesday, 5 a.m. Tuesday. And I'm looking for people who would love to share their own message around choosing consciously, choosing wisely, if it links back to what they teach. I mean, I've got a friend who's a meditation teacher who's coming on in a few weeks. I've had an astrologist. I've had talked about sleep. So it can be anything that relates back to making wise choices. So I'm always looking for people to interview.
Oh my goodness, I have so many people to recommend. Let's get in touch.
Excellent.
But if you want to get in touch with Brenda, either for being on her podcast or listening to it, LinkedIn or the website. I didn't catch the website. Leadership underscore something.
Leadership hyphen.
Hyphen.
Reboot.
Reboot. Got it.
.co.nz.
All right, everybody. As always, we will put the links for you on the replay page. But what a lot of people do if they missed what we said, they just send us a text and they say, Brenda's contact details, please. And then we just message them back. We like to make it really easy for people. What is coming up for you in the coming months?
Oh, for me, it's a lot about I've kind of been transforming my brand a little. So I'm doing a lot of promotion in the next few months around, you know, what is leadership coaching? How do I work with you? How do I know if I'm with the right coach? So there'll be a lot of video content going on, mostly one-on-one clients, because the conferences are not slow, but we've definitely seen a slowdown at the beginning of this year. So I think we're going to see a pick me up soon.
Yeah, that would be good. Hopefully people are wanting to get in person again on a bigger level. I can see your message resonating in Australia as well. So, hey, if anyone
I'm definitely heading to Australia.
Yeah,
yes,
definitely.
I am. Yeah.
Amazing. Brenda, thank you so much for joining us today. Is there anything else you'd love to share with us before we go?
I think there's one thing I will share that's a little piece of goodness for listeners, and that is, if all else fails when you are trying to be a better version of yourself, use the pause. Because if we can just take a breath and pause, it can be life-changing, because no one will remember the pause. They'll remember what you say or do after the pause. So if you can tuck the pause in your back pocket as a tool for anything in life, it will be really valuable.
So amazing. Thank you, Brenda James, for talking to us today on the topic of Mindset Revolution, a quantum leap in leadership.
Thank you so much for having me.
And thanks everyone for listening. Well, I hope you enjoyed that interview with Brenda James as much as I did. I loved chatting with her. I just found this topic so fascinating. I mean, obviously, I've talked to a lot of people about leadership over the years, but I really loved so many of her phrases. For example, she talked about leading with grit and grace. She also talked about gratitude and gut. We looked at the question of what do you look for in a friend or a spouse? I don't know if you guys took some notes on that, but it's a good one. She also asked, what are you most proud of? How do you describe your family, et cetera? And we talked also about emotional regulation and having a thoughts journal. I hope you took away some great ideas that you're possibly going to integrate into your lifestyle. If you want to have a look at the show notes and also get some links to follow Brenda, you can do that on the replay page on realitycheck.radio on the replay page for Up Your Brave. And she's got her leadership reboot, leadership-reboot.co.nz website that you can have a look at. And also you can follow Brenda on LinkedIn.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR, Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to or dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057, that's 2057, or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you, so connect with us today.